So the epistle for us, Septuagesima Sunday, is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as an uncertainty, I so fight, not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized, in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 20. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle, and he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why stand you here all the day idle? They said to him, because no man hath hired us. He saith to them, go you also into my vineyard. And when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first. When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more, and they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and of the heat. But he answering said to one of them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. And I will also give to this last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do as I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Please be seated. Why stand you all here the day idle? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're in this transitional period. We're making the transition from the time period, the Christmas season, the time period after the Christmas season, and now going into Lent. So we go from like the Epiphany to Lent. And so Holy Mother, the Church gives to us this kind of transitional period. It is not quite Lent. It is almost like a pre-Lenten time period. And so it helps us to try to get into that spirit. The spirit of Lent, a time period of penance, a time period of sacrifice. And you even see that with, obviously, the violet vestments. It is a reminder to us, there is no Gloria today. It's a reminder of the time period that is coming. The time period that we must try to prepare ourselves well for, as I mentioned to you, a lot of times the Church gives to us these long periods of time in preparation in order to receive the graces, in order for us to gain the graces that God has in store for us. And so obviously we're looking toward Easter then. That is what we have for us to consider. And so the Church gives to us this time to help us in that. And so in the epistle, we have this famous epistle of St. Paul, where he takes two metaphors that are familiar to us to try to help us then to understand. To understand then the battle it is for our soul. One is a race, the other is a fight. A race in order for us to receive the crown, to persevere to the end. And that is why he uses the terminology of a race, as opposed to like a sprint. It is something that we are meant to get to the end. It is something that will take long distance, it will take endurance for us in order to receive that crown. And then he also gives the idea of a fight, a battle that we have. And that is, realistically, when we look at it, of what the soul goes through each day. The soul must battle. The soul must fight in order to receive that imperishable crown, a crown that will not go away, a crown that will be for all eternity. And that is what we are striving for. That is what we are working toward today, today and every day of our life. And so, yes, the epistle shows to us this whole idea, but it also gives us the encouragement that the work will pay off, that the work that we are doing will pay off for our soul. And so that's what we must try to consider. That is what we must try to understand through the work, through the sufferings that we have, the effort, we will gain this crown. And then we have the gospel account. Our Lord utilizes this gospel to help us to realize that the call of perfection is for every soul, that God calls every soul to heaven. He calls some people at the very beginning of their life, throughout their life, and then even at the very end. And the reward is the same. The reward is what we are striving for. As I mentioned, it is this imperishable crown, this crown that will not go away. And so that is what our Lord tries to utilize in this gospel account to help us to see. That one, the call to perfection is for every soul, that everyone is called to that. Every one of us must try to reach that goal. And so it's given by analogy with a householder who is going out to hire. Granted, when we think about the work in the vineyard, a lot of times we think about the work of the priest. And our Lord has said in sacred scripture that there are few workers for the vineyard, signifying few that are willing to become priests and to work and labor for souls. But it's also to consider that it is a work for all of us. It's a work for all of us in understanding that for our own soul, that we work, we take on the heat of the day, we take on the elements, we take on the things around us in order to receive that reward at the very end of the day. And so it's interesting to see how so the householder who hires these people, and he goes and he hires throughout the entire day. And so some, yes, have been there from the very beginning. They battled the heat, the elements, whatever it may be. They spent the whole entire day working for him. But that is the thing that the householder tries to get across to them. That he had made an agreement with them. That they would work, they would receive a penny. Whatever amount you want to say. But they made that, we can say that contract, that agreement for that. That would be their reward. And so, yes, he goes out and he sees people idle. You know, idleness is the workshop of the devil. It is good for us to be busy. Busy on the good things. Working toward our salvation. And so he sees them idle and he asks, "Why are you just standing here?" And they say, "Because no one has hired us." So he says, "Come." So he hires them. He hires them and makes the same arrangement. Maybe to some of us that would seem unfair. But the workers, they accepted that. They accepted what was given to them. And so in a way, how can we say that this householder is unfair or unjust because he is giving them what they agreed to. And so when we look at the overall picture of this payment, this reward, we can look at it in terms of heaven. That all of us are given that chance for heaven. All of us throughout our lives are given different graces at different times in our life. You know, some we can see, cradle Catholics, live their whole life pleasing to God. I mean, you think about a St. Catherine of Siena. I've given that as an example sometimes. Where here you have this soul from age 4 was receiving visions of Almighty God. So she was obviously protected from the very beginning of her life. But then you have others that come at different stages in their life to accept the grace of God. St. Mary Magdalene, St. Augustine. These examples that we see. But yet we can say that the reward is the same for all of them. The reward is heaven. A reward that none of us are worthy of. So in that way, for us to be critical of God or this householder of saying they're unjust for what they did, none of us are even worthy of the reward. So how do we have that right to say that? And so that brings us back to the whole understanding, the whole idea of the mystical body of Christ. Where one suffers, we all suffer. When one gains graces, we gain and we benefit from that. And that is the communion of the saints. That is this understanding of that. And so when we see all these different souls called at different hours, it shouldn't strike us with, well, that's unfair. Because one, there is still the element of them accepting the grace of God. There is still that danger of souls that don't accept it. That don't want that grace of God. And so hour after hour after hour passes. And so they take a chance on their soul. They very clearly take a chance on the eternal salvation of their soul. So certainly nothing to be thinking, wow, that's really great. Because the longer that we live away from the grace of God, the less likely we will ever accept His grace. That is why deathbed conversions are, we can say, almost a miracle that they even happen. To push it off for that long is basically telling God, I'll deal with you later. And that is something that we must obviously avoid. And so, yes, we should try to strive to be like the ones that were hired at the beginning of the day, to work our life for that, to work our life for that reward, and spending our time for that reward. That is how we should try to spend our life. But as I say, God calls souls at different time periods. God calls us to receive His graces at different time. And so, but it still is up to us to accept that grace. But that is why, you know, at the end of this gospel account, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. How many souls are called to work in the vineyard? But yet how many souls ignore that grace of God? They live their lives as they please. Maybe thinking in the back of their mind at some point they will convert at the end of their life. God only knows. Or they just kind of put up a barrier to that and don't even consider it. And then just live their life as they please. And so that is the scary aspect of this. Of looking at these words of our Lord. Many are called. Many are called to receive this gift. To receive this reward. But then few are chosen. Few accept that. Because the chosen part comes from us. whether we choose to accept it or not. Do we accept that grace? Or do we consider and just keep going from time period to time period? From hour to hour to hour, and now it's getting later and later. And that is why when we come to the 11th hour, maybe it's something that some don't understand that terminology. Sometimes I've said that with my students and not sure that they understand it. Maybe it's a lost generation. Maybe there's a generation gap or something. But doing something at the 11th hour just means doing something at the very last minute. Waiting to the very, very, very last moment to do it. You know, whether it's doing a term paper at the 11th hour, whether it's coming to Mass at the 11th hour, all those things it is at the very end. And so, yes, some souls, they come at the 11th hour. But thanks be to God that they accept the grace of God. Thanks be to Almighty God that, yes, they do accept it. Because that just means that there possibly is another saint for heaven. So it's not for us to question why or when. For us, it's just to wonder, have we accepted that grace of God? Are we working in the vineyard for our Lord? Or do we stand idle on the side? Maybe waiting to be called. Maybe we're waiting for that personal call from our Lord. Knocked off our horse like St. Paul. I mean, do we stand idle by idle, be idle, you know, standing by while watching everyone else work? Hopefully not. Or that we become critical and question Almighty God. And that is why the householder says, "Is thy eye evil because I am good?" Because God is good. God gives us all the chance to save our soul. He gives us all that opportunity. And so now it's up to us to wonder, where do we stand? Do we stand idle or do we stand working in the vineyard? Are we a worker or do we just stand there idle? And so that call to perfection is for us all. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And so St. Paul gives us in the epistle the understanding. It's a fight. It's a race. It's a battle. It is something that we must understand for our life and for the good of our soul. And so he helps us through these metaphors to understand that we must work for the imperishable crown, not the perishable one. Not the crown that will go away, but for the imperishable one. The crown that we'll have for all eternity. And so then I leave you with the words of St. Paul, these famous words that St. Paul said in helping us to understand of just what it means of battling. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, and it has laid up for me a crown for all eternity." In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.